Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller, and we're going to start our program today about talking with you about Wisconsin's black bear population. It looks like there was a study done, actually a two-year cooperative study done on black bears, and it shows the number of bears may be up maybe 2.5 times current estimates. Keith Warnke, DNR bear and deer ecologist, is our guest now with us by phone today to talk about the study and about black bears here in the state, and certainly inviting your questions and comments as we move along, as we talk about bears, not only about the numbers, but we can talk the ecology of bears and a whole lot more. So give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in Madison, reach us at 263-1890. Keith Warnke, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on this beautiful day, Larry.
Oh, it's a gorgeous day out there. Are you surprised by these the results of that study?
No, you know, I don't think we weren't all that surprised, to tell you the truth. We have suspected for quite some time that we were missing something in the bear population model and perhaps underestimating. And we do that because the conservation of the bear population comes first, so we wanted to be as conservative as necessary to make sure we were not negatively impacting the resource. So with this cooperative study, with the Wisconsin Bear Hunters Association help and cooperating with the University of Wisconsin-Madison, we were able to collect additional information that hopefully we can use to further optimize bear hunting opportunities. And one thing that we really need to make clear from the get-go is we're talking preliminary results here, and we're reasonably confident in those preliminary results, but we are going to wait till we get the final data analysis done by this fall before we can incorporate any of these changes into our bear management program.
I think it was interesting the way the study was conducted, and I bet people would be interested in knowing about it. Talk about how the bears were studied.
Yeah, this is an approach that's used in Michigan and Minnesota as well, but this was a very large-scale bear study in Wisconsin. There were about, first of all, what we did was we put tetracycline tablets into a half-pound slab of bacon, put that slab of bacon into a box that was secured so that we were confident only a bear could break into it, and then hung these boxes out on the landscape. Now, the tetracycline is important because when you consume tetracycline, it leaves a halo mark in your bone. So when a bear ate the tetracycline tablets, their bones were marked. Then when the bears are harvested, we asked bear hunters to submit a sample of rib bone, which was then analyzed by the graduate student at the University of Wisconsin, and we could figure out the proportion of bears that were harvested that were marked with tetracycline. And we can use that proportion to basically calculate a statewide population index. Now, what's really, you know, most phenomenal about this project is the cooperation of the Wisconsin Bear Hunters Association, because those of the tetracycline boxes that were put out, they put out the vast majority of 3,600 boxes into the woods in Wisconsin.
Wow. What is the estimated population now then?
Well, the population model we had currently been using is estimated about 13,000 bears in Wisconsin. Now, we are the estimate right now with the new model, this new research, has a really wide confidence interval, and we're waiting to get in more data from the second year's data collection so we can narrow down that confidence interval, but we're pretty sure it's going to come back probably about twice as high.
Okay. Claire in Bruce has a question for you. Claire, hello. Thanks for calling.
I was wondering who is paying for this this study, and what's the name of the group?
Mm-hmm. The study was cooperatively funded by the Wisconsin Bear Hunters Association, okay, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
Are the bear hunters giving money for it?
The bear hunters did help fund the study.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, how can you believe the hunters that are going after the bears? The only reason they're telling you more that they're more is because they want a more license. That's all.
It's certainly true that people want more bear hunting licenses out there. But the way that we did this study was to put out, you know, baits that the bears themselves had to eat, and then when the harvest came in, we could measure which of the bears were marked. So we were, you know, there have been people who were concerned about potential biases in the results, but we looked at what it would take to actually bias the results, and basically what it comes down to is with over 3,000 boxes out there and almost 1,000 marked bears, you would have to go to extreme lengths to bias the study one way or another.
Thanks, Claire, for calling. I appreciate your call very much. I want to give Bob a chance to get online. Bob in Belmont, your turn now. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Just a quick question. I'm wondering how far the black bear population actually comes down into Wisconsin. Is it starting to... Are we starting to see, you know, them down in the southwest Wisconsin anymore, or you know, are they still up in the northern part of the state?
Now, that's an excellent question, and it's also one of the primary communication points we should make, too, is that Wisconsin's bear population is expanding, particularly into southwestern Wisconsin. We have, reliably every year, we harvest bears in Clark County and Juneau County and even down into Monroe County now. And we've got reports, very reliable reports, including photographs and eyewitness accounts of bears in La Crosse County, even down into Crawford County, Sauk County, and perhaps Richland County as well. Now, these are pretty...
There could be some possibilities in the woods in our area, in Richland County area. So just wondering that, and I appreciate the answer.
Yeah. You were going to go on to add a little bit more there, though, Keith.
Oh, I was just going to say that I think a bear population that's expanding into southwestern Wisconsin is very good news, but it's going to be important for folks to be able to know how to deal with living with bears. And for that, you know, you can go to the DNR website. We have a page on there, search for living with bears, and you will find a pamphlet there that tells you some of the do's and don'ts when bears are living in the neighborhood. And there's also another very good website, which is the centerforwildlifeinformation.org. You can go there to find out some tips and do's and don'ts about living with bears. And really, they're a magnificent wild animal. It's something special to see one in the wild. And the big rule is make sure you just enjoy bears from a distance and don't try to feed bears.
Yeah, I've had many wonderful experiences observing bears. Bears in the woods. It's always a treat, isn't it?
Even
for you, Keith, I'll bet.
It's a big thrill. I really enjoy seeing bears as well. And typically people see a lot of bears in the June and July period because they're dispersing, forming new home ranges, moving out from, you know, the cubs are moving out from the range where they were raised. So there's a lot of movement going on, and that's when people see a lot of bears.
Yeah. Well, Nell in Milwaukee is up next. Hi, Nell. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm being suspicious by nature. I'm wondering, could it not easily be biased, the study, by people sending more than one rib from one bear? Or do you have the second rib on the left side or something like that, that it always has to be, that, you know, that you can tell when you see that?
Right. What people did is they sent in an entire packet, and in that packet it is included a tooth that they extract from the bear for aging purposes, a rib sample, which they extracted and sent in and put in the packet, and a registration stub that they get with their bear permit. So the only way I think they could probably send in too many more than one rib from a same bear is to get an additional registration stub. However, we received samples of about 88% of the number of bears that were harvested in Wisconsin last year, so it's pretty evident that that kind of thing wasn't happening.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, Nell. By the way, you can join in, too, if you would like, with a question about our Wisconsin black bear population, talking about the population and a little bit about living safely with it as well, with Keith Warnke, DNR bear and deer ecologist, works out of Madison. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. And in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Email us at talk@wpr.org. The biologists are tracking bear, as we were talking about, populations across the state. And how do they do that?
How do they track bear populations across the state?
Yeah, is it mostly sightings, or are there, I mean, even into the southern, almost southern parts of the state?
Oh, as the population is expanding, we follow up on reports of bear sightings, certainly, and follow up on reports of bear dens and bears with cubs. And we also have, in cooperation again with University of Wisconsin-Madison, a cohort of marked, radio-marked bears in Wisconsin, in central Wisconsin, and we're trying to follow their dispersal patterns and try to find out what kind of habitat types, what kind of landscape characteristics will determine which ways and where they're going to disperse.
Hmm. How large are these black bear cubs at birth, Keith?
When they're born, they're very small. They weigh, I think, between 3 and 6 pounds when they're born. But then by the end of their first winter, they can be quite large.
And when are they typically born?
They're born in January in the den.
Okay. And then they stay right in, obviously stay right in the den with mom until she gets up and it's warm outside.
They stay in the den with their mother until she comes out of the den, and then they actually spend the first summer entirely with the sow, and they go back, generally, they'll go back into the den their first winter with the sow and come out of the den with her in their second spring, and at that point, then, the sow comes into estrus and is ready to breed again, and she boots her previous young off of her habitat, and that's when you get the dispersal effect.
Got it. Anne in Madison is up next. Hi, Anne. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi. I know that the DNR has a couple of separate departments that are somewhat at odds with each other. One, I think, is the Bureau of Endangered Resources. And then, of course, there are the wildlife people. The wildlife people want to hunt, and the endangered resources people try to preserve the resources, which are going, and almost gone all over the world. So, first, I don't believe in hunting bears, especially, you know, as wildlife is decreasing so drastically from so many causes, including overhunting and overdeveloping. But second, I wondered what these macho men who shoot bears do with them. Do they eat them? Or do they just chop their heads off and, you know, get them stuffed and mount them on their basement walls, which I think is really, I actually think it's just disgusting.
All right. Well, Keith, what's your response?
First of all, let me just make sure we're clear that the Bureau of Endangered Resources, the Bureau of Wildlife Management, and the other management, land conservation bureaus in the DNR, we are all very much on the same team working toward the same overarching goals of wildlife and ecosystem conservation, and we work very closely together. As far as the second question goes, certainly, hunters eat bears. Hunters and their families eat the bears that they harvest. It's very good table fare. I've had bear on a number of occasions myself, and it's a highly sought-after game animal and a table animal.
Let's go to Dan in Madison next. Dan, hello to you.
Good morning. I'd like to try and squeeze in two questions. The first, do you have any statistics regarding nuisance or danger culling where animals have, bears have been getting into livestock or near to children or something where there's been a need for a nuisance call? And secondly, any statistics or related information from what Minnesota, Ontario, Michigan might be doing with their bear populations?
Okay.
On the first question, I have some statistics with me that I can bring to mind right now. We received about 1,200 calls for bear complaints last year. A small proportion of those resulted or involved property damage and involved human health and safety. And in those instances, when we receive those and validate those, we have a contract with the U.S. Department of Agricultural Wildlife Services personnel who come in and first trap and move those bears that are nuisance or that may be posing a threat. In extreme situations where there is a danger to human health and safety, we do have a protocol in place for culling those animals if need be. That number is generally quite small year in and year out. Usually we can usually the Wildlife Services personnel can handle those complaints with technical assistance and moving the bears. In general, if you're having a bear nuisance problem, it's because the bear is habituated to a food source, and removal of the food source, in most cases, can address the problem. And I've lost the second question.
Oh, the second part was what Minnesota, Ontario, and the other other areas are doing in terms of the bear population.
Right. I don't know about Ontario. I do know that in Minnesota, their bear population is actually growing as well, probably growing a little bit faster than ours. And Minnesota also, I believe, doesn't have quite the same level of interest in bear hunting that we have in Wisconsin. So we have a good opportunity in Wisconsin to adjust our bear population goals and then set bear seasons and harvest quotas in order to get our bear population down to that goal where we want it. We have a lot of bear hunter interest and ability to manage our bear population.
Keith Warnke, our guest today, DNR bear and deer ecologist. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about Wisconsin's black bear population with DNR's Keith Warnke, Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you listening in. We'll go to Jim in Dubuque, Iowa next. Jim, hello to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning. I'm
interested in hearing your program. I'm going to be vacationing about halfway between Clam Lake and Hayward in the middle of August, and I like to go out running in the morning. And it happens that with the group I'm with, I'm probably the only one that'll be running, and I'm 70, so I'm real slow, and I'm wondering if the bears are going to see this as a chance for a thigh and a white meat there, you know, whatever parts they want. Is this what's the probability that I'm going to have a friend, a black bear, chasing me on the roads up there in an unpopulated area? And is there a time of day that would be best to avoid those folks?
That's an interesting question. I'm a runner as well, and I go on frequent runs in northern Wisconsin myself when I'm up here for meetings and things like that, and I can honestly say that I have never encountered a bear when I've been out on a run. I have encountered wolves and deer and a whole variety of other things, but never a bear. I think the odds of you even encountering a bear when you're running are very, very low. And that being said, the odds of actually getting into a conflict or a dangerous situation with a bear are extremely low. It's extremely rare for black bears to present a threat to humans, especially when it's simply a matter of an encounter that doesn't involve food or young. Now, there are some things that you can do if you run into or see a bear when you're out running. You know, just make sure that you make noise and that bear knows that you're there. And it's going to leave the vicinity very soon. So if I were you, I wouldn't be worried.
Okay.
When I'm running and they see that bear and I make noise, was it best to continue running at the same speed or go into a walk at that point and try to make noise and be big and all that kind of stuff? What do you suggest there?
Well, if the bear is close, you should slow down, change direction, and just slowly make your way the opposite direction away from the bear. And then, you know, if you're in a close encounter that way. If the bear is off at a great distance, you make sure that the bear is aware that you are there and that you are moving away from it in some direction or another. Don't run towards the bear.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Jim. And good luck with your running. Appreciate the call. Al in Athelstane, Wisconsin, I believe, is next. Hi.
Good morning, Larry, and good morning, Keith.
Good morning, Al.
I want to just preface my remarks. I really have more of a comment or an opinion than any kind of a question, but I've been bear hunting for a little over 22 years up here in Marinette County, and last year I was fortunate to finally get another permit after a 10-year wait. And assuming your preliminary population estimate based on the recent study holds up, there's already a lot of talk around this part of the state about, you know, hopefully there will be a dramatic increase in the number of permits next year. But I've been sort of issuing a word of caution about that. The study was conducted in 2006 and 2007. Now, I'm sure the bear population didn't double in those 2 years. This had to be an ongoing rise in the population. statewide. So I guess my comment or opinion is that before we start talking about issuing a significant number of more permits for 2008, assuming the results of the study hold up after everything is analyzed, I think the first step would be to have a review of the population, the bear population goals for the various management units in the state. Because, like I say, I'm sure that the bear population didn't go from 13,000 to 26,000 in a period of 2 years while the study was conducted. So I just, if I do have a question, it would be whether or not the DNR has maybe already started looking or is planning to look at the population goals for the various bear zones in Wisconsin.
All right. Thanks for calling, Al. Keith, what do you is that the case?
Yeah. First of all, thanks, Al. You hit all the points probably better than I did. That was very well done. You're right. What we need to do once we have the final results from this study is to incorporate that into our bear management program, evaluate our bear management goals and where we are relative to those goals, and evaluate how we can influence bear populations with additional permits out there. And then there's also a number of social factors that go with the level of bear permits out there and hunter crowding in the woods and hunter conflict that we're going to have to carefully evaluate and try to incorporate into our bear management systems as well. So we will be evaluating those goals once we have the final results from the study in.
No. Thanks, Al, for calling. Brian in Spring Green has a related question, so let's go to Brian. Brian, hello.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering if your guests can outline the process that a person needs to go through to get an individual permit to harvest an individual bear. I think there's a misconception out there that it's kind of like a small game license where you can walk into the store, buy it, and then go out and blast as many bears as you see in the woods. And I don't think that that's the case.
Yeah.
Yep, that you're correct. That is not the case. An individual who's interested in hunting bears needs to apply for a permit. Each year, well, for example, this year I think we have about 4,700 bear permits that went out to bear hunters who applied in the drawing. For those 4,700 permits, there were over 86,000 people who applied either to get one of those kill tags or to get a preference point. And like Al, the previous caller mentioned, he'd waited 10 years between his two bear permits, there's a substantial wait in any bear zone in the state. You need somewhere between five and 10 preference points in order to get a bear permit, and you can earn a preference point every year. So a person has to apply for a number of years consecutively to build up preference points before they'll get a kill tag.
All right. Thanks, Brian, for calling.
Sorry. You called it.
Nick in Seymour, I believe, is up next. Hi, Nick. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you. I actually have just a question about the effect that these bears are going to have as a predator and competing with other predators in the state. You had mentioned that the original estimate for the number of bears in the state was 13,000, and if we double that, that's 26,000, and that works out to be over 360 bears per county. There's going to be counties out there that don't have any bears in the map at all. And so I'm just wondering how that's going to affect, you know, other species that are hunted in the state. You know, what are the bear eating, and, you know, how are they competing with the other predators to get that, and how is that going to affect the number of, you know, for example, deer that can be hunted in the state?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, the first part of the answer is doubling our population estimate really doesn't affect the number of bears that are actually out there or have been out there for a number of years anyway. It simply reflects the fact that we've collected more science and we can now be more confident that there are more bears out there than we had been estimating in the past. And the bear population has climbed to where it is now over a series of years, over many years. It's not doubling overnight or in 1 or 2 years. So their impacts, the impacts of the bear population aren't going to change at all by doubling our population estimate. That said, you know, bears are very omnivorous. They're predators on deer fawns for a very small portion of the year, a couple of weeks when the fawns are first born and are on the ground and are pretty immobile.
But after that, bears aren't a major influence on the fawn crop, and switch over actually to quite a bit of eating berries and grasses and sedges and acorns, and become very omnivorous the rest of the year.
No, gotcha. Thanks, Nick, for calling. Terry and Abrams, your turn now. Hi, Terry.
Hi there, Mark. Yeah, this question is for the area that used to be closed to running dogs during the hunting season. That would have been west of 51, south of Highway 8. This would have been around the Tomahawk area.
Yeah.
I presume that has opened up now to hunting with dogs?
Yeah, that opened a couple of years ago through a rule change. It's now open to hunting.
Why did they open that up? You know, I've got 440s up there, and I've had problems with these guys. They think they can run anywhere they want with them dogs. And they use the excuse, we can't control our dogs.
Yeah, and those are public relations issues that certainly can occur occasionally with dog runners and people hunting bears with dogs. The area was opened up as a proposal from the public and went through the public hearing and public participation process, and it came, you know, was returned pretty positive. And so we decided to make the rule change based on public advice and public input to open the area to hunting with dogs. And I do realize people can have problems with that, and I think one of your best recourses there is to get involved with the Wisconsin Bear Hunters Association. They are very concerned about making sure that they have positive relationships with landowners out there. So one thing you might be able to do is contact them and ask them to help you out with this conflict issue.
Yeah. And they have a website, I believe, Wisconsin Bear Hunters Association. You can just Google that,
and you'll find
them, Terry. Thanks for calling. Pete in Monona. Peter, hello. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thanks very much. I have a kind of a funny question. We have a very remote cabin in rural Vilas County. I'm sure it's great bear habitat, but we never see any bears, and we would love to see some bears around there. What is there anything we can do to make it more attractive without feeding them and getting them relying upon us,
mm-hmm.
which we don't want to do? But we would. It's got to be great habitat. But we see no signs of bears at all.
That's an interesting question, and I think you're right to not want to create a feeding site for bears. First of all, it's not legal to feed bears. Second of all, fed bears become problems and can become nuisance bears, so you're really smart to take that approach.
Right, now I understand that.
One thing you can do, if you have any oaks around the property or you have any blackberries or you have any mast-bearing crops, when those crops are ripe and falling to the ground heavily, especially acorns, bears will focus in on those and spend their, you know, a good portion of their time consuming acorns or blackberries or even blueberries. So being at your cabin at the time these crops are ripe and knowing where these crops are could probably raise your chances of seeing a bear.
Good idea. Thanks very much for calling, Peter. John in La Crosse, we're on to you now. Hi, John. John, are you there? Well, maybe we lost John. Okay, let's go to David in Ironwood, Michigan. Hi, David.
Oh, several years ago I was watching a show on bears, and the guy made the point that bears tend to get dangerous when they're over-familiar with people by feeding bears and stuff, or them going to the trash and get too familiar, they lose their fear of people, or when you run into bears that never saw a person. They said that if a bear comes towards you without making noise, that it's probably eyeing you up for lunch, and that if it's making noise, then there's probably cubs around.
Mm. It's extremely, extremely rare for a bear to act as a predator towards humans. I'm not aware personally of any instances where that's happened in Wisconsin, although rarely it has occurred. However, that it is very true to say that bears that become overly habituated to people tend to feel almost a sense of entitlement to being fed at the site they've been feeding. And when that's related to people, that's when you can end up with an aggressive bear situation and a problem. That's why we recommend that you not feed bears. And if you have out bird feeders or deer feeders or something and bears are using them, then you remove that source of food for a couple of weeks to change the bear's pattern of behavior so it moves on elsewhere to a different source of food.
All right. Thanks again for calling. And Ruth and Ladysmith, we're on to you now. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. It's just exactly the same subject you were talking about. I want you to reiterate that caution to people. There's a guy in Russ County. I don't know where he lives, but I saw a video that he made. He has a night camera, video camera,
yeah,
on his backyard. And he has tree stumps out there hollowed out, and he puts old bread and, you know, crap like that out there. And he has 30 bears coming to his yard. It's so scary. And I asked the person who showed me the video, well, why the heck don't they... doesn't he stop that? Isn't he? And she said, "Well, if he stops it, then they're going to come up to his house." You know.
Well, it's illegal, isn't it, Keith?
It is illegal if you're not hunting bears or training dogs to hunt bears. It's illegal to feed bears simply for viewing purposes. That's correct, and it's also just a bad management practice for the reasons she pointed out. You know, you create a situation where bears are habituated to an area, and you can get a pretty high density of bears, and in that case, 30 seems like a lot of bears to be using one small area, and that is indeed what leads to problems. It leads to expensive bear trapping and translocation efforts, or in some events, we have to take some of those bears, we have to euthanize those bears permanently to take them off the landscape. So, yeah, again, it's illegal and it's bad practice to feed bears.
Yeah, thanks, Ruth. John in La Crosse, on to you.
Yeah, hello. I was just wondering, is there any documented case of a black bear attacking a full-grown human being?
Yes, there are a few documented cases of black bears attacking full-grown human beings. The most recent one I can recall, I think, was in Tennessee. It was some campers who had food in their tent, and the bear was basically just looking to get at that food, and the people happen to be sleeping in the tent at a time. And there are other events that have happened, none of which come to mind right now, but it is extremely rare to have that kind of an encounter with a black bear.
Yeah. All right. Kim in Clintonville, your turn. Hi, Kim.
Yeah, hi. I hope you can hear me. I'm on my cell.
Sure. We can hear you.
Yeah, ironically, I'm on my way up to do my baiting today because I got a kill tag for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of let people know that the bear hunting, if you figure what the bear hunters have invested in hunting, I mean, by the time I get done, I probably got $1,000 to $1,500 stuck in the bear hunting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's an expensive proposition for sure to be able to go out and bear hunt, and the license is a small part of it, but you've got a lot of miles to drive.
A lot of miles. Well, Kim, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Marilyn in Cottage Grove, it's your turn. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. I understand that, at least I heard this a couple of years ago, that a dog that hunts bears on public land, if that dog was killed, then the hunter would be reimbursed for the price of that dog?
That's an issue that's been around for quite some time, and some bear dogs are injured or killed during black bear hunts. I'm not aware recently of having reimbursed dog owners for loss of bears to loss of dogs to bears. There is a program occasionally where a dog owner who loses a dog to wolves is reimbursed for the cost of that dog.
Mm, but not for the bears. Okay. Thanks, Marilyn. Patrick and Rhinelander, your turn. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I guess my question was, I used to live up in Ely, Minnesota, where the black bear Foundation has opened up a museum or whatever they have up there. And the question is, Minnesota outlawed dogs. Is that something that's coming into Wisconsin?
Yeah, Ely, Minnesota, that I believe is where Lynn Rogers has the Black Bear Foundation nearby. And as far as outlawing dogs in Wisconsin, there is no notion or effort or intent that I am aware of to prohibit the use of dogs for bear hunting. There was an effort to prohibit the use of dogs for bear hunting about 10 or 12 years ago. The department supports the use of well-trained dogs for hunting, including bear hunting, and we were not in favor of outlawing the use of dogs for bear hunting, and we remain to be supportive of the use of dogs for bear hunting.
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling. And is it why are you in? Why is the Department of Natural Resources in favor of dogs? Is it safer, or what's the rationale?
It's a popular hunting opportunity. It's a very valuable management tool. Bear hunting is the primary tool we have of managing the bear population. And dogs are an effective way of hunting bears, so it's important to have an effective management tool when we have bear population goals that we need to keep bear population limited down to that level.
Okay. Doug and Sainer, your turn now. Hi, Doug.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Say, I've been listening to this whole program. I belong to Wisconsin Bear Hunters Association.
Yeah.
And, you know, the very first caller that was on, the gal, you know, it seemed like she was skeptic on how the count was done. She seemed to think that it was going to favor the hunters no matter what. And I just would like to know from Mr. Warnke, have you ever had a group such as like the Humane Society or any other organization that's against hunting the black bear help do or help fund a population count? We've already said that the Wisconsin Bear Hunters Association helped out with the count, the Department of Natural Resources, and I believe you mentioned somebody else. But you know, I just kind of got fed up. It doesn't seem like we're never going to win the fight against, you know, trying to keep our rights as a hunter. So I'm just curious, have you ever had any input from any other organizations that are getting?
We're losing you there, but did you get the question there, Keith? Any organizations that are against hunting, have they funded any DNR projects?
From the bear population management perspective, I'm not aware of any organizations against hunting who have funded bear population studies. There are groups like the Bear Interest Group and the Bear Education Center that do help do things. There's black bear rehabilitators in Wisconsin who help rehabilitate orphan cubs and release them back into the wild. There are, you know, all the citizens of the state of Wisconsin, of course, help conserve and preserve our ecosystems and natural resources, some through their tax dollars and some through earmarked funding. For the specific question of monitoring a bear population or conducting bear research, I think the answer is no. From the broader level perspective, we do receive support and cooperation and collaboration in monitoring bears and rehabbing bears and things like that.
Well, it's an interesting study, Keith, and I hope when we got the final results, you'll come back and visit with us again.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. Keith Warnke, DNR bear and deer ecologist, our guest, as we talked with him about Wisconsin's black bear population. Once the results are definitely in, this is, of course, preliminary results we're talking about here, we'll have him back and we'll talk with him again about bears and black bears here in the state. Maybe we'll, since he's the deer ecologist, we might have him on talk about deer as well. We'll see. But there are some other things out there in the woods that people like to hunt, and among them, mushrooms. Mushrooms and other fungi, our topic coming up next year with Tom Volk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.